Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspiring business performance.
After the hour, thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Ted Greener's here. Ted's a new friend, new member of our Brain Trust, Director of Public Affairs at the Association of American Railroads. Ted Greener, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. So, American Railroads, tell us who that is.
Sure. We are the industry trade association, and actually the name...
For all railroads?
For major Class 1 freight railroads and a host of short line railroads.
Okay,
which we can...
but does that include CSX, include Norfolk Southern?
It sure does.
Okay, so those guys, the big guys too?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right.
And in fact, it also includes two Canadian operators, Canadian National and Canadian
Good.
Pacific, which
Good.
Traverse the northern
right.
border on a regular basis,
right.
and Kansas City Southern with a Mexican subsidiary.
Right. Okay, good. So that pretty much gets the waterfront there, the landscape. But it also includes the short runs.
It does.
You call them freight railroads.
That's right, yeah. So you have a mix, major rail operators and short lines combined for about 140,000 miles of track in the United States.
A lot of people don't know about that subset of the railroad industry, the short lines, the 10-mile lines, the 120-mile lines.
Yeah, they're certainly a critical part of the network. They connect with the large operators
mm-hmm.
that generally work on behalf of. About 40% of the national rail network is tethered.
Say that again. I want you to give them that percentage again. Folks, this is really important for you to understand. Go ahead.
Sure. So short line railroads operate about 50,000 miles of track, or roughly 40% of the national rail network.
Wow. That's a huge bunch. And those are small business owners.
They are.
That's the reason I wanted you to tell the story. These are small businesses. I know them. I know some of them, Ted.
Yeah. The short line folks, I think they range in size, but certainly some of them are, and both them and the large operators are certainly connected to the larger economy, which has pretty deep connection as
right.
well to small businesses.
Some of them are municipalities. Some municipalities own the spurs.
Yeah, that's true. The predominant set of railroads in this company and something that in this country that we like to talk about are privately owned.
Right.
We invest our own private dollars for the most part,
mm-hmm.
Particularly the large companies in this country, and we do so, by ourselves without taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So you're saying that capitalizing the 40% short run railroads are pretty much capitalized on their own, like a small business is.
That's right, yeah. Railroads, in the aggregate, spent about $26 billion annually in the last 5 years, $635 billion since 1980, and this year are projected to spend $60 million a day just to maintain their infrastructure.
Right. Wow. So, I'm happy to report, Ted. I've told you this off the air, and I mentioned it to my audience a few times. My dad was one of three brothers and their father who all worked on the same line, the same rail line, for a major railroad. And when my grandfather retired 45 years ago, the four men had 125 years combined service, and it was a big deal in the railroad world in those days. That event when he retired and had all that together. But then my dad left the railroad and went and ran a freight line like you're talking about, a freight railroad like you're talking about.
It's amazing. When you
for,
said
for
that.
Several years. And then my brother ran it after that.
Yeah. Oh, it's remarkable. I mean, the industry today still supports employs about 165,000 people, and our operations,
yeah.
and, it combined helps support about 1.5 million jobs nationally.
Well, I tell you what, railroad put food on my table. I am who I am because of the railroad.
Yeah, and some of the most high quality careers you can find in this country in terms of total compensation and benefits, just a really good career path.
My dad wasn't paid all. I mean, they didn't get back in those days. They didn't get paid a lot of money, but they had pretty good benefits, and it got in their blood, right? It was railroads get in your blood, folks. I'm telling you, it just does.
Yeah, it's a culture. That's for sure, yeah. And it is. Deep, you know, it has a rich history in our country. One thing, when you're leading, it made me think to mention is that, well, you know, I think people look at railroads in this Americana lens, and obviously they've been around for a long time and helped the Western expansion. Just as important today, the U.S. government projects a 41% increase in freight demand in 2045. You know, we'd like to think that we're going to have a huge hand in moving all of those goods, the goods that you and I depend on every day.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And, you know, I was just telling the audience earlier, when I was a kid, we'd be in our parents' cars waiting on the train to go by. You'd look at the train, the different kinds of cars and wonder where they'd been. Then you'd get to wave at the brakeman in the caboose, right? Or the conductor in the caboose. Well, that was the worst thing that railroads ever did was get rid of the cabooses.
Mm.
Now, they figured out that they could save millions of dollars by not building them and manning them. They put those stupid radio telemetry devices on the end of them. You know what I'm talking about. But I think that was a real huge part of Americana was lost when they did away with the cabooses, Ted.
Well, I think part of
Please
the
report
larger...
that for me. Tim, that to them for me.
I will. Probably just part of the larger evolution of the industry.
Oh, yeah.
You may not think that of the rail sector as being in a technology business, but we certainly are. We do state-of-the-art research out at a testing facility in Colorado.
The safety issue, there's no question. All the safety issues that are there. So what are the challenges of the railroad industry these days? Well, I'll tell you what, before we do that, I need your website and tell us a little bit about your organization.
Sure. So you can find our organization just at AAR.org, the Association of American Railroads. It's based in Washington, D.C. We advocate primarily on behalf of major U.S. railroads, CSX and Norfolk Southern, which are predominantly east of the Mississippi, BNSF and Union Pacific, which are predominantly west of the Mississippi.
Right.
That also includes, as I mentioned, Canadian National, Canadian Pacific, and KCS. And we are pretty active online. You can find our social media handles there by visiting AAR.org.
All right, so check that out, AAR, I should say. And then we'll come back. We're going to talk about some of the issues that they're facing that they need some help with. And a lot of it is connected to our...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.